Good afternoon. My name is Marianne Malvin, and I am the Monsanto Biotech Project Lead for dicamba and glufosinate-resistant cotton. I'm going to give you a little bit more introduction of myself. I'm a molecular biologist. Hopefully none of you will hold that against me. I worked on dicamba soy, and I had the opportunity to lead the dicamba glufosinate-resistant cotton project. And I was personally able to design and construct the vectors that were used to make our transgenic events. As we all know, that's just the starting point, and I have a very strong team behind me to evaluate these events and turn out a really quality product. A couple of those people are here today. We have Andy Kindig in the front row. He is our biotech trait development lead and will be evaluating these events in the field. And also our crop team lead, Rich Voth, is here. Before I talk about dicamba and glufosinate, I would like to go back and talk a little bit about glyphosate. So glyphosate continues to provide efficient and cost-effective weed control. The vast majority of weeds are effectively controlled. As you all are aware, there are glyphosate-resistant problems. And there's four important species to the cotton grower: the horseweed, ragweed, Johnson's grass, and of course, Palmer pigweed. We've heard talks about this already, and I know Dr. Stanley Culpepper referred to it as the super wheat earlier this morning. And I think this is a good opportunity to for people to really pay attention and realize you need to have a strong, effective weed-resistant management program. Current recommendations for minimizing weed-resistant issues include starting with a clean field, whether this is a herbicide burndown or tillage. When you use glyphosate, make sure you use the right amount of glyphosate at the right time. Half rates just encourage glyphosate resistance. And glyphosate is not enough. You need to include some different mode of action herbicides in your weed control programs. Because if you don't have glyphosate resistant weeds and you don't use anything but glyphosate, you will have glyphosate resistant weeds. Longer term options for minimizing weed resistant issues: development of additional alternative mode of action herbicides and or formulation options. What I am here to talk to you today about is developing crops with resistance to other herbicides, namely dicamba and glufosinate. Dicamba provides effective and economical control of broadleafs. We're engineering it to be applied both pre- and post-emergence. You're well aware glyphosate offers an additional tool for post-weed control, and we'd like to combine that with dicamba resistance. When you combine dicamba resistance, glufosinate resistance, and glyphosate resistance, this gives you a really great opportunity for a strong weed management program. This table just compares those three herbicides. Glyphosate, as you know, is a broad-spectrum herbicide, controls most weeds. Its mode of action is an inhibitor of EPSPS enzyme, which is involved in the biosynthesis of amino acids. And our Roundup Ready traits are based on an insensitive EPSPS enzyme. So glyphosate hangs around in the plant, is not modified. Glufosinate is also a broad spectrum herbicide, though it is limited to small weeds. Once the weeds get above 4 to 6 inches, it's hard for glufosinate to control them. The mode of action, it's an inhibitor of glutamine synthetase. And this is involved in the assimilation of ammonia. If you're interested, there is the chemical reaction. It's a detoxification mechanism. So glyphosate, an acetyl group is added to it and is no longer an active herbicide. Dicamba is a broadleaf herbicide, very little monocot activity. It works through an auxin mimic and it interferes with plant growth and development. This is also a detoxification or inactivation method. So tolerant plants would produce a DMO protein and convert dicamba to DCSA, which is dichloral salicylic acid. Here's what you've been waiting for. This is our first look at dicamba and glufosinate-resistant plants. The two plants here on the left is a wild-type plant, so Coker 130, no transgene. And on the right, the plant contains both our glufosinate and dicamba-resistant genes. These plants were both sprayed with a tank mix of 0.5 pound per acre dicamba and 0.5 pound per acre glufosinate. This is 1x rates for both herbicides. These sprays were done at the 4 to 5 node stage, and the picture was taken 6 days after treatment. As you can clearly see, the plant on the left is severely injured and dying with no transgene. The plant on the right that has our resistance genes is growing quite well and very happy and looks beautiful to me. Here is dicamba and glufosinate resistance in the field. What we have is in the middle, a Coker 130, so no transgene. On the right is an event with dicamba and glufosinate resistant genes. These both plots were sprayed with sequential 2x rates of both herbicides. More specifically, a pound of dicamba was applied pre-emergence, followed by a pound of glufosinate at the 2-node stage, followed by a pound of dicamba at the 5-node stage, and then further followed by a pound of glufosinate at the 8-node stage. So you can see we applied a lot of herbicide to these plants. And the Coker 130 didn't fare so well. They died and were completely wiped out, where the resistant event looks very healthy, it's growing well. We saw no agronomic issues whatsoever. One thing I will mention, you notice over here, this is a non-transgenic border row, and we do see a little off-site injury. And I know this is a concern with dicamba, and our formulations team is definitely working on this. They're working to decrease the volatility, increase the efficacy of the herbicide so not so much has to be sprayed, and obviously you wouldn't want to spray this much herbicide on your plants anyway. And they're also working on increasing the residual activity of dicamba. Here's another field picture from Mississippi this year. And if you look in the back there, the two bare areas are the non-transgenic coker, and in between that are 8 different dicamba glufosinate resistant events. These plants were all treated with the same herbicide regime you saw in the previous slide, with 2x rates of both dicamba and glufosinate sequentially. And all 8 of our events look very beautiful. I mean, no yield impact, no agronomic issues. It's working out very well. I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about Monsanto's standard product development timeline. So a project starts in discovery and moves through 4 different phases. Currently, dicamba glufosinate-resistant cotton is in phase 1. And what happens in phase 1 is that you take a gene that you think works and put it into your crop and make sure you get the desired efficacy and there are no agronomic issues. And I think we're well on our way to that. As the project moves into phase 2, this is early development, we'll have extensive field trials, multiple locations, multiple spray treatments, to really understand what our traits can do. As well as, in addition to that, we'll do a lot of molecular characterization and protein work to really understand the biology behind our traits that we're producing. As we move into phase 3, this is advanced development, we will narrow down our events to 1 or 2, and regulatory trials will start. Into phase 4 is regulatory submissions and seed bulk ups, and then commercialization. I've gone through some of the activities that are going to happen between now and commercialization, but there's quite a few more. Extensive event testing, efficacy, agronomics, molecular, making sure there's equivalence to the non-transgenic parental line. Test and develop the product concept, understand really what we have, and this includes determining stacking strategies. So are we going to stack dicamba and glufosinate tolerance with Roundup Ready Flex? Probably. With some sort of insect trait, maybe yield and stress, that it has all to be determined. A lot of work will go into determining the best herbicide application protocol to control the weeds, namely the hard to control ones like glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth. Also, in relation to this, we'll be testing herbicide interactions and formulations to really develop the best herbicide program along with our trait when we launch it. And then just to summarize, so I've showed you our dicamba glufosinate resistant events, and they're resistant to multiple sequential 2x rates of both dicamba and glufosinate. Dicamba is a new herbicide for cotton, though it has a long history of use in corn to control broadleafs and very soon in dicamba resistant soy. Glufosinate is used in cotton now, but it really adds to the multiple modes of action. So to have the 3 modes of action, glufosinate, dicamba, and glyphosate, really leads to a strong weed-resistant management program. As I said, our events are currently in phase 1. Extensive testing and characterization needs to happen prior to commercialization. We need to test the product concept and develop the stacking strategies, really deliver a good weed management program, determine which herbicides to spray when to control these weeds. Can we tank mix those together? Do they need to be sequential? What is the best spray to get the best weed control in your field? And with a lot of work and a little bit of luck, we'll launch a quality product.
Thank you. Oh, that was very quick.